The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living, and thanks for joining us today. I am so delighted to be here and to have all of you here too. I'm your host, Barbara Friesner. And I got into this elder care biz the way a lot of people do, because of personal experience. I was the care manager for more than 25 years, first for my grandmother for many years, and then overlapping with her for the past 17 years for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia. And as a result of my experience, 10 years ago, I started Age-Wise Living, and I became a generational coach to help other family members have an easier time as they journey through elder care. As a generational coach, I work with family members, and only the family members, never the senior, and I help the family members figure out what to do to help their aging loved one, but more importantly, I think anyway, I help them communicate effectively so their aging loved one will actually do what needs to be done. And since all generational coaching is by phone, I work with people all over the country. Well, all over the world, as a matter of fact. And by working by phone, it also allows me to work with all of the siblings who might be spread out all over the country, because it's really important to me that all the siblings are working together to support their aging loved one and the caregiver. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet for my free weekly newsletter, I really urge you to do so. So if you're interested, please go to agewiseliving.com. And you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter, and you can also see all kinds of other free stuff that's on there. Again, that's agewiseliving.com. And in addition, I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And I'm a speaker and a seminar leader, and I do teleseminars like the one I did last week. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it. It's called The 13 Steps to Successfully Resolving Your Elder Care Issues and Finally Getting a Good Night's Sleep. And if you didn't get a chance to listen, you still can by going to tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/LXO4H7. And that's a really complicated one to hear, so email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com and I'll send you the link. Again, that's barbara@agewiseliving.com and I'll send you the link, because it's a great teleseminar, if I do say so myself, which apparently I do. Anyway, I'm also the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, and you can learn all that you want to know about what to do to resolve your elder care issues. And there's plenty of stuff out there, but through the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, it's all in one place. Because if any of you have ever Googled elder care, you know that over 4 million entries come up. So the information is out there, but do you really want to sort through 4 million entries to figure out what's right for you? Besides, knowing what to do and getting your aging loved one to do it are two very different things. And so that's why I took my 25 years of elder care experience and created the Ultimate Caregiver's Success System. Now, I don't want to take a lot of time right now to go into a lot of detail, but I think it's important to let you know that if you purchase it by July 31st, not only do you get a bunch of really important special bonuses, but it's also I will also give you a $50 discount. So I really urge you to at least check it out right now, because it's a terrific system for anybody who's dealing with elder care. And there's more, lots and lots more information by going to theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. That's theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. Or you can go to the shop page at agewiseliving.com. And then finally, I have this show, Agewise Living, because it is my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And that's why the focus of Agewise Living is to bring you information on really important and, I think, really interesting topics, the kind of topics that are going to save you time and money and stress. Now, I have to tell you, I just cringe when people say to me, if my mother won't cooperate, I'll just go to court and have them make me her guardian, and then she'll have to do what I say. The fact is, a guardianship or a conservatorship should always be the option of last resort. I mean, if your mother was not cooperating with you before, just think what the situation is going to be when you've gone to court, you've aired what she may interpret as dirty laundry. It's a very private generation, and now you're talking about all kinds of private things, including saying that she's not competent, and you're doing all of that in open court. And so guardianship and conservatorships really should be the option of last resort. And that's why I'm so delighted to have with us today Leanna Hamill. She is an elder law specialist, and she's here to explain what a guardianship is, what a conservatorship is, and all the information you need to either avoid it or at least know what you need to know to proceed appropriately. So, hi, Leanna. Welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you. Attorney Leanna Hamill provides estate planning and related legal services to clients of all ages, with a focus on the needs of the older individuals and their families. And she's based in Hingham, Massachusetts. And Leanna provides estate planning, estate administration, guardianship and conservatorship services, comprehensive estate and Medicaid planning evaluations, Medicaid advocacy, and other things. And Leanna works with her clients to plan for and face life's exciting changes, unexpected challenges, and inevitable transitions. Leanna graduated cum laude, congratulations, from Suffolk University Law School, and has a degree in sociology from the University of California, Davis. And prior to practicing law, Leanna worked at Tufts Health Plan in the Appeals and Grievances Department for over 7 years. Leanna lives in Hingham, Mass., and is a member of the Massachusetts Bar Association, the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, and the South Shore Coalition of Workers with the Elderly. And Leanna is also one of the co-founders of the Women Attorneys Network of the South Shore, and can sometimes be found on Weymouth Community Television doing yoga with Back to Your Senses. So a very well-rounded experience. So again, welcome, Leanna.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. And this is a great topic that you've chosen.
I think it is. I think it's so important because there are so many misconceptions about it. So let's start with something that's really basic. What exactly is guardianship or a conservatorship? How are they different? Because I've always used them as guardianship / conservatorship, like one word.
Yeah, and they're both court proceedings, and in general, in most states, a guardianship will be where the guardian is given the authority over the wards, essentially their whole person. So making healthcare decisions for them, making living decisions for them, up to choosing their meals, who they can associate with, that sort of thing. So that is what a guardianship is making all of those kinds of decisions.
So really, when you're talking, it's like when you name someone the guardian of your children, this is like someone who takes care of, who comes in and takes care of everything.
Yep. It really is as though you become the parent of the parent. And a conservatorship is where you're given control over the person's finances, property, income, assets, and all of that. So they no longer have any authority to sign checks for themselves, you know, get money out of the bank, make any kind of financial decisions for themselves. All of that authority is placed on another person.
Okay, so so unlike the guardian where it's everything, with a conservator, you can do anything you want, it's just you have to come to me to pay for it.
Right. And a lot of times people will, both things will be put in place. So you'll become the guardian of the person and the conservator of the estate.
Now, if you are the conservator, if you are the guardian, aren't you also by default the conservator?
No.
Ah.
Some states, and this is where it gets confusing, some states will say a guardian of the person and a guardian of the estate. But sometimes, you know, maybe the person has all of their assets in a trust, so they don't need anybody so there's a trustee that can step in and handle all of the finances. It's just that a second person is needed to make the health care and living decisions.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So you can be the guardian of the person and have no authority over money.
Because someone else already is.
Right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've looked at this issue before, and that's the first time I've really understood the difference, so thank you. Now, why would someone need a guardian or a conservator?
In general, it's because they haven't, either by choice or by ability, been able to make any kind of pre-planning arrangements. So if somebody has, you know, severe mental illness, severe mental retardation, maybe they've never been able to sign a healthcare proxy, or they've never been able to sign a durable power of attorney.
Like if they get hit by a bus.
Exactly. Or if from the time they were children, you know, they've never had the mental capacity to be able to sign any legal documents. When they turn 18, at that point, a lot of times the parents will need to step in and get a guardian or a conservatorship or both over them so that somebody can continue to make the decisions. In other cases, you know, it's just a regular person with the normal capacity going through life, never got around to signing a healthcare proxy or a power of attorney, and then all of a sudden, or gradually, and they don't realize it, something happens and they've lost their mental capacity.
Okay, we're going to actually take a short break right here. And when we come back, we're going to continue on with this. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And our guest today is Leanna Hamill. And when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about conservatorships and guardianships. And to get more information from Leanna, go to her website, which is Hamill, H-A-M-I-L-L, lawoffice.com. Again, that's Hamill, H-A-M-I-L-L, lawoffice.com. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to Age-Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are with Leanna Hamill. And she's answering questions about guardianships and conservatorships. And before we went to break, Leanna, you were talking about why someone would need a guardian or conservator. And let me ask, what are the advantages or disadvantages? I can understand what the advantages are, but are there disadvantages to it?
To needing a having a guardian or conservator?
Yeah.
I think so. One of the things, you know, when I talk to families about making a plan ahead of time, so signing a healthcare proxy, which appoints somebody of your choosing to make healthcare decisions for you, or signing a durable power of attorney, again, appointing someone of your choosing to handle your financial decisions, is that you're the one choosing who's going to be doing those things. So it can either be a family member, it can be a friend, it can be a trusted advisor who's not related to you. And with the guardian or conservatorship, the court is appointing a person who may or may not be the person that you would have chosen to handle these things. So that's one of the disadvantages from the perspective of the person under the guardianship. From the perspective of the family, the disadvantages are simply that it is far more expensive than putting a pre-plan into place. The time that it takes is, you know, can be very time-consuming.
Yeah.
It involves the court, so it's a public process. You know, any kind of hearings that are being done are in an open courtroom. And it can be an adversarial proceeding, so that you're attempting to take away your parents' rights, and they can object to that. So you're sort of setting up an adversarial relationship where really, you know, you may be wanting to work together because you are essentially trying to have this person declared incompetent and then, you know, take over everything that they had been doing. So, you know, the other thing you can run into is that if there are a couple different siblings, maybe they have different ideas about who should be the guardian or the conservator. And so you run into disagreements there, and then, you know, different people start getting different lawyers, and the costs really can start to skyrocket.
Yeah, which really goes to what a family should know before embarking on a guardianship and a conservatorship. You know, certainly one of the things that you're talking about is the adversarial proceeding because, especially I would imagine with the conservatorship where you're dealing with the money, then
yes,
it becomes even more so. A lot of times they're happy not to be the guardian, but a lot of discussion about who gets to be the conservator.
Exactly, and you can run into, you know, And the person who's the proposed ward in most states is required, you know, to be offered to be at the hearing unless there's some medical reason that they can't be there. So, you know, you're at one table with your lawyer and your parent is at the other table with their lawyer. And, you know, so it really is a courtroom setting. And if there's a way, you know, that you can do some mitigation before it gets to that point and maybe have some more conversations with the parent about allowing some family members to take over some things or, you know, having one of their advisors be the person who's the conservator so that the family relationship can be maintained, but that somebody can be helping out with the finances.
Because it doesn't have to be they say no and we go to court. It can be they say no and then we sit down and discuss. And this is one of the things that I talk about so much is and feel so passionately about is talk to them about the pros and cons of the situation. Really talk about, you know, I understand this, but if you don't, then I'm going to have to go to court or you know, yeah. That may be the next step. And talk about it before it has to go to court and have them sitting on opposite sides of the courtroom.
Right. And even, you know, if they're making questionable decisions, you know, say they start sending a lot of money to charities that they never supported or they seem to be being taken advantage, you know, one of the steps you can do is to bring them to a doctor to be evaluated, and if they are still able to understand signing a durable power of attorney, they can give that, you know, concurrent authority to a family member or an advisor so that somebody can step in and help them voluntarily with the money. You know?
And there may be other things that you can do, such as having them not have a checking account or have a checking account but then have the larger amount of money go into a different account from which the family member pays the bill so that they still have some discretionary income. It doesn't have to be,
no.
I'm going to go to court and declare you incompetent. It can be, let's figure out as a family what kind of steps we might be able to take once we look at the core problem, like they're giving money away. Okay, so if they have $250, at least it won't be their rent.
Right.
And if they give that every month, you know, we don't agree, but at least their rent is still being paid.
Right. And maybe they would agree to have someone go through their mail with them. So if they're getting a lot of, you know, magazine subscription or different, you know, maybe questionable charities requesting money from them, that they can put a stop to that, you know, without having to go to court and get the, you know, get all the rights removed.
Right, and changing phone numbers if they're getting solicitation calls and all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Now, if there is a family member that wants to be the conservator, are they automatically appointed? If I say I want to be the one, are they automatically appointed? Is that, you know, two siblings go and one says I want to do it, are they automatically appointed?
No. I mean, the process to getting appointed is either a guardian or a conservator, there first needs to be a medical evaluation done. And then that form, in Massachusetts, the medical certificate is 8 pages long that the doctor fills out explaining everything. And they, in Massachusetts, and I'm guessing it's like this in a lot of states, they really focus on what rights can this person maintain for themselves. So the focus, even if you're going to get a guardianship or conservatorship, is on limiting the powers of the guardian or the conservator to those which are absolutely necessary. So even if you're able to get them declared incapacitated and to get a guardianship, you still might not have full authority to do everything that you want to do. The courts are really moving towards people maintaining, you know, their independence and self-determination and that sort of thing. So there's a medical certificate that needs to be obtained. And keep in mind that you may run into difficulties with your parent's doctor not wanting to give you the medical information because they feel like this is their patient and they don't want to be sharing that information with you. So that's one of the steps in the process.
And how do you get around something like that? Because if you have a parent who is in your opinion, incompetent, and you have a doctor who's not willing to give you the information, but you're trying to get conservatorship or guardianship because they are incompetent and haven't and have not signed a health care, the health care proxy or the living will. You know, it's catch 22. You're stuck in the middle. They're not going to give you the information because they haven't signed the paper. They can't sign the paper because they're incompetent. What do you do?
Right. At that point, you would then need to go to court to have the court compel the medical certificate.
Oh.
So that can be an extra step in the process. If you do have a doctor who, you know, says, yes, I will fill this medical certificate out, you know, and the evaluations for those medical certificates are generally not paid for by Medicare or private health insurance, so you know, that might be an out-of-pocket expense that people have. You would then go meet with an attorney to fill out all the paperwork that needs to be filed with the court. An attorney is usually appointed for the parent, or if they want to use their own attorney, to essentially defend them in this proceeding, then that would happen. A lot of times a GAL may be appointed.
What is that? Guardian ad litem.
Sort of a third party appointed by the court to oversee the situation. So they might interview the parents, they might interview the different children, they'll look at any financial records that there are, and they'll write a report for the court and submit that with some recommendations. So maybe if there were a couple different children, each trying to be the conservator, the court might appoint a GAL to interview each person, interview the parents, see if they have a preference. It's sort of a person who reports to the court and gives them some guidance.
And if the court determines, or if the guardian ad litem determines that this is not the best person because of whatever the reason, then they don't automatically, the family member that wants to be the conservator is not automatically appointed. It might
no,
be someone
else.
No,
they're not. And the
and
court might,
be,
the guardian ad litem might make a report that says nobody in this family is capable. I think we should appoint a third party. And you might have, an outside person completely unrelated to the family being appointed. And that person is paid out of the estate of the ward. And then they would take over the management of everything. So it might be that a family member is appointed as a guardian to make health care decisions, and then an outside person is appointed as a conservator to handle all the finances if it seems like there's not an appropriate person. But, right, there is no guarantee that if you are the one going to court to request being appointed that you will be. And there is no guarantee that the court will find that the person is incompetent. So you might do all this work and get to court and be denied.
Yeah, which actually happened. My mother had tried to get conservatorship or guardianship or both, I don't remember what it was, of my grandmother, of her mother. And we went to court because there were people surrounding my grandmother who were problems. And the doctor who had agreed to testify then backed out because he turned out to be an arrogant jerk, but never mind. I digress. At any rate, it got very nasty and very difficult, and she was still denied the right to do it. And I then stepped in and said, look, I will take over, and my grandmother was very happy to have me do it, and that was, we got what we needed in the first place, but it took going through all of that before my grandmother agreed to it.
Yeah.
At any rate, with that, we are going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to Age Wise Living. Our guest today is Leanna Hamill, and when we come back, she'll be answering more questions about conservatorship and guardianship. I also want to remind you that if you want to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, please, please do that, because we're going to have information on this and lots of other information in those. To do that, go to agewiseliving.com. Again, that's agewiseliving.com. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Our elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind. Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Leanna Hamill. And she is an attorney, and she's answering questions about guardianships and conservatorships. And it's absolutely fascinating because it's one of those topics that comes up, and everybody, a lot of people have heard of it, but not a lot of people know exactly what it is. So I'm delighted to have you here, Leanna. And I have another question for you, which is, all this time, we've been talking about guardianships and conservatorships and trying to get appointed and all of that. What are the responsibilities of a guardianship or a conservatorship once they've been appointed?
That is a good question.
I mean, what do they do?
Because it's not just, you walk out of the court with your appointment certificate and, that you don't have any more responsibilities from there.
And mom now has to listen to you, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
You're still, even though you've been given this authority, you've been given it by the court. So you have a duty to report to the court everything that you're doing. One of the first things that you have to do when you're appointed as a conservator, this is over the money, is file an inventory with the court. So you now have to figure out all of the assets that your parents have. So all of the different bank accounts, any kind of retirement accounts, life insurance, cars, real estate, little savings accounts, all of that, usually within 30 days of appointment, you need to send this whole list of the inventory to the court.
When you say inventory, does that also include if they have furniture or antiques or anything? I mean, does it get down to that?
It can get down to that. I mean, if they have valuable antiques, you might be needing to get an appraiser in there to determine what the value is because, you've been given this huge responsibility over somebody else's property, and the court is going to hold you, to accounting, essentially for every single penny. So that's the inventory that's filed. And then in a lot of states, you actually have to file a financial plan. So So you say, you know, this is all the person's assets, and here is my plan for it. You know, so what are all the bills you're going to be paying every month? If you need to move any of the assets around, what are you going to do with those? You know, and that can be a 5 or 10 page report that's being filed.
You have to, if you decide to sell some stocks and move them into, I don't know, real estate or whatever, do you have to request permission to do that?
Sometimes you might need to go back to court to get special permission to do things. So if you were, I don't know about real, in some states it might be real estate, but occasionally, yes, if you're doing certain significant actions with the people's property, you will need to go back and get the court's permission. And again, at that point, a guardian ad litem may be appointed again to make sure that that action that's being taken is within the best interest of the ward.
Okay, and so it also might be if you're trying to do something that then would prevent you from paying the monthly bills if, God forbid, you know, the stock market crashed or anything.
Right, and you definitely have to be reasonable. You know, that's usually the standard that you're held to, is sort of a reasonable, prudent person in terms of investing. So, you know, you can't take all their money and invest it in junk bonds or things like that. You know, so you are still held to that standard. And then every year, you file an accounting. So you'll say, this is the money that we started with. Here's all the money that came in. Here's all the money that went, where it went. And then here's what we're left with. And then the next year, you start again, and you say, here's what we were left with at the beginning of the year. Here's where all the money went. So it's really, you know, if you're serving in this role, you really need to have something like QuickBooks or Quicken set up, you know, and some people have even hired a bookkeeper to keep track of all of this and to prepare the accounting every year. And that sort of thing is available for all of the heirs to inspect. So if there are several different family members, you know, they'll be able to inspect that accounting. And they can object to it, and they can say, you know, for whatever, why did the money go here? You know, we thought that there was this other piece of property. So it's open to scrutiny. It's open to court scrutiny. And if it seems that something is being mismanaged, the court can remove you as conservator.
Now, if you have a sibling, you and your sibling wanted to be the conservator, you got it.
Yep.
And then your sibling, can they question your decisions throughout the year? Can they come in and see and really hound you and... Or watch carefully. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing a bad thing, but can they throughout the year question every decision that you make? Or once you've been appointed conservator, then they're there.
They can every time an accounting is submitted to the court. So that would be generally once a year.
Okay.
You know, they can object to it at that point. And then if you're appointed guardian of the person, at least in Massachusetts, you have another report to fill out. First one was in 30 days of appointment and then yearly afterwards, outlining the living situation of the ward, you know, medical issues, what your plans are, how often you visit them, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, you're essentially sending progress reports to the court to say, you know, yes, I'm actively, you know, I'm playing an active role as the conservator or the guardian.
Yeah, because there had to be a reason that you were in there in the first place,
exactly.
Which was that they were not taking good care of themselves, and they were not their well-being was not well. I don't know how you say that, but anyway. And so, for some reason, now you have to say, "Here's what I'm doing in order to make the situation better than what it was."
Exactly, and it can be, you know, that I've hired caregivers to come in 4 hours a day in the morning, 4 hours in the evening, you know, and I've accounted for it on my financial report. This is what I'm doing with the money. You know, my mother has gained 30 pounds where, you know, before she wasn't eating and now she's healthier and this and that. So it can, you know, I think it keeps the guardian and the conservator responsible for making sure that the reason they were appointed is actually, you know, coming to fruition, so that, yes, this person is improving. Maybe they're moving out of the house and they've hired someone to clean it out and it's being sold, and now the money can be used to keep them in an assisted living where they're happy and they're flourishing. And, you know, so it can definitely be a good thing, and there are definitely situations where taking these steps are needed. You know, but it's the times where it's questionable that you really want to kind of know what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely. Now, we did talk a little bit about this before, but recognizing that the process is going to vary from state to state, what are the general steps involved in getting a guardianship or conservatorship over a parent?
The first step is usually they'll come and meet with an attorney who, you know, walks through the process with them and then says, all right, you need to go and get the medical certificate. Assuming that the doctor has cooperated, you have the medical certificate, you get all the paperwork filed with the court, an attorney is appointed for the parent, perhaps a GAL is appointed, and then there'll actually be a hearing in court, you know, which if everybody is sort of in agreement, can go smoothly, and it will be approved. If they're not in agreement, you know, there might be testimony from the doctor. If, unlike yours, they agree to show up, you know, they'll do that, and then at that point, the person either will or will not be appointed as the guardian or the conservator. And then, you know, they'll be given all of the papers that they'll need to fill out for their reports. So when they're filing the accounting and those things, they won't generally need to go back to court again unless somebody is objecting to one of the accountings.
Okay.
So, and sometimes what will happen is if there's sort of an emergency situation where a temporary guardian needs to be put in place, you could end up having one hearing to get the temporary guardian put in place, and then to figure out if it needs to be extended, there could be a second hearing.
Well, now, and I know these are, that a guardianship or a conservatorship, just based on what you were saying, are expensive. So give us some of the expenses that that someone's going to have to face with this.
Yep. It will be, again, the medical costs to get an evaluation, you know, and with an 8-page form and a doctor who's not getting compensated by insurance, I've heard of them charging, you know, $750 to fill out this form. There can be lawyer fees for both or all parties. So the person who's petitioning for the guardianship, the potential ward, if there are other siblings who aren't in agreement and they're trying to petition, the GAL fees, that is a person who is usually a lawyer that's appointed by the court to serve in that role, but they get paid out of the ward's estate, you know, to do all their interviews and to write up the report for the court. There are filing fees, which can be several hundred dollars depending on the court, and then a bond, which is sort of like a bail bond. If you're becoming a conservator, you have to put up a bond protect the money that you're going to be in charge of, and that's based on the amount of money in the estate. So that can be several thousand dollars a year, depending on how much is in the estate.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and there, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break and then come back and finish that answer. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. Our guest today is Leanna Hamill. And when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about conservatorships and guardianships. And to get more information from Leanna, go to her website, which is Hamill, H-A-M-I-L-L, lawoffice.com. And I also want to remind you that you can listen to my free teleseminar, The 13 Steps to Successfully Resolving Your Elder Care Issues and Finally Getting a Good Night's Sleep. Best way to do that is to email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. That's barbara@agewiseliving.com, and I'll send you the link. And also, as I mentioned before, during the teleseminar, I introduced the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, and which can help you talk with your aging loved ones so that you can avoid all the things that we're talking about today. And for more information on that, go to the Ultimate Caregivers Success System.com. That's the Ultimate Caregivers Success System.com. And with that, we will be right back.
News, opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? in 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another?
Don't you wish you had some place to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Leanna Hamill. And she's answering questions about guardianships and conservatorships, and we've been talking all about what they are and what goes into doing it and all of those sort of things. And it's expensive, and it's time-consuming, and it's potentially adversarial, and having your parent declared incompetent and the trauma to the family and all those things. So what are the alternatives? How can you avoid this before it happens?
That is a great question, and that is what I spend a lot of my time educating my clients on, is that there really are alternatives to these. So, you know, the foundation of any good estate plan is a healthcare proxy, which is where you name somebody to take over without any type of court permission, but as soon as your doctor says you're unable to make healthcare decisions for yourself, the healthcare proxy kicks in. There's somebody that can make those decisions, and, you know, they can be at the hospital instead of at the lawyer's office or in court.
And spending the money on your care
exactly.
Instead of legal fees.
And the other piece of that, so the healthcare proxy is sort of like a guardianship that you do yourself privately. And then the durable power of attorney, also called a durable power of attorney for finances, is the piece that allows somebody to take over or even just help you with your finances and your property, doing everything from writing a check all the way up to, it can include selling your real estate. Again, it's private. It's not something that's ever submitted to court. It doesn't need any kind of court permission, and it's the person of your choosing, so that you know if something happens to you that somebody else can step in and take over, you know, sort of seamlessly. Because what I tell my clients is, I want to be the last person that you're calling in an emergency and not the first. So if we have these different documents in place, you don't have to call me when your mother lands in the hospital because you have the healthcare proxy, you have the power of attorney. You know, yes, you can call me a few days later for a little bit of guidance, but you're not sitting in my office when you should be sitting at the hospital bed. So that's one of the things I always stress.
And those are so important because a lot of times, especially the healthcare proxy, we're not just talking about avoiding guardianship and conservatorship, but it's also if you are under anesthetic and you something comes up and you need an answer right away. I mean, there's so many other aspects to it that are so important. And if something does happen to you, you have, God forbid, a heart attack or something like that, a power of attorney means that you can start, you know, that somebody can write your rent check for you while you are out so that you don't lose your apartment while you're also, you know, recovering from some serious medical thing.
Right, and that it's all just happening seamlessly. You know, and if people have set up a trust, then that works the same way, so that the trustee can step in, the second trustee, take over, you know, pay the bills that need to be paid. And then once the person is recovered, again, they take back all of the authority that they had. So if you're under a guardianship or a conservatorship, if you recover from whatever it is that caused you to need those, you have to go back to court to get those released. Whereas if it's a healthcare proxy, power of attorney, or a trust, you know, there is, again, no court involvement, and you just get your powers back when you're able to handle things again.
I didn't think about that. That's a really good point.
Yeah, because sometimes it can be temporary. If you're in an accident and you're in a coma, somebody needs to handle things for a couple weeks or a month. You know, it's much more seamless and pleasant than having to go in, get an emergency guardianship, and then go back again and get it released. And again, you're getting a medical certificate the second time to get it released, so it's really, you know, anything you can do. And, you know, when you're working with people to help them talk to their parents about, you know, we're not just sending you to the lawyer so that you'll write us into your will. It's really, you know, to help you while you're still alive.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I really push people and push to talk about is that don't, if you want to talk with your parents, don't start with their will.
Right.
That's later on, and, you know, if it happens and you don't have a will, that's bad, but it's not the worst thing that can happen. What is the worst thing that can happen is if something happens and you don't have a power of attorney, you don't have a health care proxy, and everybody is just in limbo.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that is just so horrible, and that's why it's so important to talk about those things while they are still well, while they're still young and healthy, and so that there's not an issue of you know, fear about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. This is sometime in the future, and yeah, sure, let's take care of it.
Right, and it's, you know, it's easy, it's inexpensive, it's a few visits with the lawyer, and then, you know, yes, if they need guidance along the way, call the lawyer. And the lawyer helps out, but you're not running to the lawyer's office, you know, again, when you should be running to the hospital.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, is there such a thing as a limited conservatorship or guardianship?
Yes,
a
lot of times if there is something that, you know, just sort of one transaction that needs to take place, you can go in to get authority to do that one thing, and then it's released as soon as that, you know, so maybe getting the authority to sell a house if the power of attorney for some reason didn't have authority to sell real estate in it. So you could get a limited conservatorship that's lifted as soon as the transaction is complete. And I think more and more states are moving towards those to really try to keep people, you know, with the most liberty as they can possibly have.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know about those. I didn't know that those were possible. We don't have a lot of time left, so what I do want to do is ask if you would be willing to write up the answers that we have for answers to the additional questions that I still have, and have that for my newsletter. If you would do that, I would really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
That would be great. And by the way, to get the newsletter, I really encourage you to do it. It's go to agewiseliving.com. It's completely free. You just go to agewiseliving.com and sign up for it, and there you go. And I'm sorry that that's really all the time that we have. The time went so fast. And again, I'd like to thank my guest, Leanna Hamill. And to get more information from Leanna, you can also go to her website, which is hamillawoffice.com, or you can call her at 781-749-2284. And remember, if you don't have any, if you have questions for Leanna that you didn't get a chance to ask, please email them to me at barbara@agewiseliving.com, and she will answer those in next week's AgeWise Living newsletter, too. So go to barbara@agewiseliving.com, send the questions to me, and then go to agewiseliving.com and sign up for it. And also, if you want to avoid the conservatorship and the guardianship and all of those kinds of things, it is so important to start talking with your loved one now. And that's why I really want to remind you to check out the Ultimate Caregivers Success System. And that's the ultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. And it's, you get $50 off the price if you get it by July 31st. So I really encourage you to do that. Also want to suggest that you tune in next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern when our special guest will be Anthony Cirillo. And he wrote a wonderful book called Who Moved My Dentures? And it's just a great book. And that's next week, and he will also be talking about his book and The Meaning of Life. So I know that's a show you don't want to miss. I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. So until next Tuesday, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week and carpe diem, or seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.